plate a potential nugget.
And in this podcast, we are curious about people's journeys. So before we dive into talking about your recent book, Deliberate Calm, tell us a little bit about your journey and more specifically, some of the key transition points. You know, I was particularly intrigued by a couple of points in your journey, HUL to McKinsey, and then McKinsey to what you do now. But maybe there are more. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your journey, especially some of the pivots along the way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I studied in economics and then I joined Unilever and really enjoyed it. So I thought when I joined, I thought, well, let's do it for 2 years and then I'll see where it ends up. But it was so much fun that I actually had a really nice 14-15 years with them, with a couple of highlights running the global Magnum ice cream brand out of the Innovation Center in Rome, which was very exciting. And then moving to Palm Beach, Florida, where we bought SlimFast, a weight loss company. And that was also a transition point for me. And I had a couple in my career. This was one, and it was basically the SlimFast period was quite intense. It was a company that we kept outside Unilever, and it grew double digit. But it was the weight loss business, right? So it could also go double digit the other way around. And at some point after 2 years, that happened. And long story short, at some point, I got a thyroid infection as stress related, right? So we were in a downward market situation. Mm. We got stuck in our management team. We had lots of tough discussions, but couldn't make tough decisions. At least it took too long, according to my my standards. And I got a choice from a doctor, either to take out my thyroid or to look at the psychosomatic background. So I did the latter, and that was super impactful. And actually, I think it might have actually have been the early seed of this book, because at that point I got very much in touch with awareness work and deep transformational work. So becoming aware of patterns and learning how to transform unproductive patterns into productive patterns for myself. Now, what happened to me when I started doing that work were two things. One is every time I learned something new about myself, I got more influence back in the office because I could stop blaming my colleagues and start changing myself, which is a lot easier than waiting for others to change.
And you were working with somebody in this period, Mikhail, or just self?
Yeah, I was actually part of a group. It was a group work, so lots of people. Basically, the work was around helping people discover their blind spots, what was in between you and your potential. Mm-hmm. And it was based on Adlerian psychology. So I've done that for a year or so, and in that year, my physical condition totally went away without medicine. And as I said, every time I got an insight, I got more influence back in the office, but I also felt my thyroid slow down. So I was burning, when I at the top of this condition, I was burning 8,000 calories a day, which is like you're continuously running a marathon. It's quite intense. Mm. Yeah. So that was a transition. That was not so much a transition, but it was something that brought a practice into my life that excited me so much and had such a personal impact on me that it started to ignite a passion for something that I hadn't known before. Mm-hmm. And what then happened is it shifted, my interest shifted a little bit more towards this type of work and a little bit away from the marketing, sales, general management track I was on at Unilever. Mm-hmm. So after a while, I took a sabbatical and actually started to look at, how can I bring this work into the boardrooms? Because, we're not very well trained to handle change in boardrooms, specifically when it's really tough, right? When paradigms need to shift, when people need to change mindsets, when they need to change how they collaborate. So I thought, hey, what if I could bring this type of blind spot discovery work into boardrooms? It would solve a lot of problems. It certainly would have solved our problem if we would have gotten that skill into our team. So I took a sabbatical and interviewed everyone that had anything to do with working on the boundary between business change and people change, and ended up talking to a McKinsey senior partner, Michael Rennie, who just traveled to the US to
based
introduce...
in Sydney, right? Wasn't he based in Sydney at some point?
Yeah, he was in Sydney. He was in Sydney, and he experimented with what McKinsey at the time called mindsets and behaviors. And basically, that was based on an insight that a lot of strategies were good strategies, but they didn't get executed. And they didn't get executed because people couldn't get their hearts and their minds around it. And there was not enough buy-in. And so this mindset and behavior work was actually there to help shift, let's say, the soft stuff in order to get the hard stuff done.
Got it. Now, I used to do some work with a gentleman called Bill Schanninger in New Jersey.
Yeah. Bill is also part of the org practice. Know him well. Yeah.
Correct. And he used to talk about Michael Rennie in Sydney. Got it.
Yeah. He was a special innovator. So when I met him, I thought, wow, you know, I never aspired to actually work for McKinsey. But when I met him, I thought, hey, this is where I... and I had another, I'll do this 2 years and then I'll see what happens. But then I ended up staying 15 years because I really enjoyed life at McKinsey and doing this work.
Yeah. And this was regular management consulting sort of in the McKinsey strategy, business, ops, sales, marketing kind of stuff? Or was it focused
on the
transformation?
So it was very different because I only wanted to focus on this transformational work. So I joined Michael in this nascent practice that was called Mindsets and Behaviors. And we basically did only work with executive teams around the world to help them in their most difficult challenges, shifting their mindsets and behaviors. And then later on that turned into large-scale culture transformations work as well.
Very often, we are hit with minor or major events which can give us an opportunity to pause and take stock. In these situations, we often grind our way through. However, sometimes it might be an opportunity to reflect and rebalance, reprioritize and change tracks. Bruce Feiler, author of Life is in the Transitions, speaks about how some of these events could be an opportunity to shape-shift into a different trajectory.
Kind of the quick and dirty on the idea of the shape, back to the original shape conversation we were having, is that there's kind of three pillars we have to how we make meaning in our lives. I call them the ABCs of meaning. And the A is agency, what we do or make or create. The B is belonging, our relationships, our colleagues, our friends, our loved ones, our co-religionists, the people we volunteer with. And then the C is a cause, a calling, a purpose, sort of something higher than ourselves. So we all have a way that we kind of balance these. I'm an ABC. I'm a writer, so I'm very agentic. I'm very involved with family and a very active dad. And cause is kind of less important to me. My wife, Linda Rotenberg, who started and runs an organization called Endeavor that supports high-impact entrepreneurs in 50 countries around the world, she's very cause-oriented. She gives back to entrepreneurs all over the planet. Then she's very agentic because she's, you know, a founder and a builder and a social entrepreneur. Relationships, you know, she tolerates the rest of us. So she's like a CAB. So what tends to happen when we go through a life quake is that we rebalance. Like maybe we've been working very hard and we want to spend more time with our family, or maybe we've been a caretaker or caring for an aging relative or a child, and maybe we're now moving on from that and we want to give back. Or maybe we've been giving back in our career and we want to do something more for ourselves. So what tends to happen in these life quakes is, because they are sort of breaks in the normal, they are opportunities, and in some ways I would even say obligations, to rethink what's most important to us, and allows us to kind of breathe, take stock, and maybe then shift our priorities somewhat.
Like Mikhail says, building pauses that could help us make sense of these events can sometimes help us shape shift into a more meaningful place. Thank you for listening.